We open God's Word to that scripture that we just have sung, Psalm 46. We read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And that really is the text this morning, verses 7 and 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There are three stanzas to this psalm. And after verse 3, it says Selah. After verse 7, it says Selah. After 11, it says Selah. And so what we're focusing on this morning is the chorus, which very well could have been put after verse 3 also. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Beloved, you wonder what old preachers do. They re-preach their old sermons. And this morning I'm preaching a sermon that I first preached in 9-11. Was that 11? I lose track. When the towers fell. I was going to preach on something else, but this happened on Tuesday, and I thought, well, that sermon, they're not going to hear that one very well. And I know we have to listen no matter what, and whatever it is, if it's the Lord's Day, but I thought I have to preach something else, and this is the one that grabbed me. The Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And you know what? That was a terrible time. But it was a wonderful time. Because do you remember a little bit of it? Some of you? No, many of you don't remember. Good to see all you anyway. But your parents will tell you about it, maybe, if they remember. And how everybody came together. Terrible things when those towers come down and people are dying and all of the terrible things that happened, and yet good things happened. Because what? People got together. They came together and they were praying. The presidents, of course, are calling for prayer. The governors, everybody's calling for prayer, and they're holding hands and everything else, and it was so wonderful. And then I was thinking about that, how everybody was together. And then I saw that business at the White House. Oh, January 6th, was it? Whatever it was. All these days you have to remember. That was terrible. That was terrible. Because there they were, people. United States citizens. Attacking our Capitol. Terrible it was. And where do you go then? Where do you go? I didn't hear too many people calling for prayer. The chaplains were praying there in the house. And then you ask the question, situations like this, situations in your own life, in your family. Where is God? Where was God when all of this was going on? And the answer is just what we heard this morning. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. God is in control. God is on the throne. The Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So I titled that message, and I title it again this morning, What Keeps Us Going When Everything Seems to Be Going Wrong, or The Situation Seems Terrible? What Keeps Us Going? Three thoughts. Whom do we confess? What do we confess? And why do we confess? Well, whom do we confess? Who's the one? God. The one God revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The one who made the world. The one who made us. The one who calls us out of darkness into light. The one who wants us to live as his people in this world. In the midst of trouble and trial and devastation, we as believers make confession. You wonder sometimes, what was the situation here where this psalm was written? Well, there were all kinds of suggestions. One of the best ones I could find was, you have to read 2 Kings 18 and 19 about Sennacherib, king of Assyria. He sends his field commander to Jerusalem, and Hezekiah, the king, is intimidated, and he doesn't know what to do, so what do? You pray. And he prayed to the Lord. And then Isaiah was sent from the Lord with a message of deliverance. And in the evening of that day, the angel of the Lord, mind you, put 185,000 Assyrian soldiers to death. And Sennacherib went home, and his two boys killed him. One of my favorite authors, James Boyce, he was wondering too about the original situation. He says, whatever the original circumstances, it's true that God alone is our defense, and that our ultimate security does not rest in any earthly city, but in the heavenly city prepared for us by God. You know, I heard somebody critiquing the other day that ministers don't talk enough about the judgment. Well, I want to tell you this morning, we confess from there, ascended high in heaven, Jesus is going to come again to judge the living and the dead. To judge. And then what Boyce says here is so important. Our ultimate security does not rest in any earthly city, but in the heavenly city prepared for us by God. That's why we're here this morning, to look up and to prepare for that time. Because Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back to judge. And unless we have found in him, then we'll be like those 185 dead Assyrians, spiritually. Which is worse than even physically. And you say, oh, but we have to wait so long, and I don't see any miracles like that. Well, listen to what verse says, 2 says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. When you get my age, our age, you think a little differently about all these things that we have and all of what we consider important and precious. Oh, it's still there. You still want and you still like and you enjoy. But you realize that, hey, that time of my life is getting shorter. And very soon, Jesus is coming back for me. You had two here lost their fathers this week. Okay, there you got it. The big question is, are you ready? And then I can say, And I had trouble saying that earlier, but I can say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. And I'm not just an escapist that I want to get out of this world, because this world is God's world. He created it, and He made us to be here to rule and to live and to help with the work of kingdom building. But this world is not my home. I don't like the part about just passing through. No, we don't act that way, do we? It's pretty important. Pretty important. But Abraham was here too. And what was he looking for? A heavenly city. And that's the direction we must look. Nations are in uproar. Verse 6 says, they rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, is what the other translation says. What does that mean? In the original, the word is Yahweh Sabaoth. Lord of Sabaoth, Lord of hosts, Lord of armies, warfare, Lord Almighty. I like how the New Living Testament puts it, the Lord of heaven's armies. The Lord of the angels. He'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. God is in control. The one ever faithful and true to his person and his word. You can count on God. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. He's true. He is almighty. The Lord of hosts. The Lord of nations, peoples, and everything. And that's now our glad confession as believers. He takes the name, we take the name of God upon our lips. And so in the midst of disaster and trouble and COVID, you name it, the Lord of hosts is the one we acknowledge. He's the one that we follow. To him we look. A few things we should think about with regard to that. Does that mean that all of a sudden we know everything? We can comprehend everything? We know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? Of course not. Does that mean that we can make sense of the troubles and trials and tragedies and the 9/11s and all the rest? Why did this happen and why not that? I guess a better question to ask would be, why are you still here? Why am I still here? Doesn't mean we don't get angry with wickedness. Doesn't mean we just go on without taking any precautions. But very importantly, the things we do must first of all not be on the outside, but on the inside. I directed you in that way already with the law. Not just a matter of, do I look nice and everything? I walked into the consistory room with my scarf on. I like a scarf in the winter, but I got to take it off when you take your coat off. And I forgot. And they were looking at me smiling, and I thought, oh, it was just a friendly bunch. Yeah. Felt, oh, yeah, my scarf. Outside, huh? Lots of people got it good on the outside, but God is concerned about the heart. Is my love real? Do I put my love into action? Because as I just mentioned before, it could be us who was in that tragedy. Could be us who died. And so we still have time to prepare. The first thing we ought to think about is, I'm going to draw near to God. I'm going to make sure that I'm right with God. Not that I just simply have everything done correctly, but that it's done out of love in response to what He has done for me in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we will not fear. God is our refuge and strength. The Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, big and small, all creatures, armies, Satan himself is in the hand of the Lord. That's whom we confess. Second thought, what do we confess? The content of our confession, the Lord of hosts is with us. That's sometimes difficult too. God is with us. You ever have the feeling sometimes, where is God? I pray to him. I really do mean it. I acknowledge him. I worship him. But I don't see him. A little child said to me, but I don't see Jesus. Ah, see, we have to see. We want to see. And then we have to talk about faith. Huh? The assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. We live by faith, not by sight. This is the faith and the hope that keeps us going and enables us to do what we must do. Why won't we fear? Because the Lord of hosts is with us. Think about that. Creator of earth and heaven, the one who sustains all things by his word. So clear at Christmas, you know, when the message came that Mary was going to have a baby and Joseph shaking his head can't figure it out. And God says, no, no, everything's okay. That which is to be born of her is of the Spirit. And then the prophecy, God with us. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the next big thing we're celebrating is not his birth, but his hanging on the cross, his suffering, his dying, God with us. This comforts us as believers. This lays our fears to rest. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And then we get on the ocean like the disciples in the water, and Jesus is sleeping, and they can't figure it out. Why is he sleeping in the boat? Why doesn't he do something? Master, don't you care that we perish? And what does he do? He says, peace be still, to the water. And then to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? We can sing the songs, huh? The Lord is with us, our safety to secure. God is strong to save. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You young ones, when you hear about fortress today, you think, what in the world are they talking about? Well, it's kind of like a fortress, a place that is very firm and sure. Maybe you think about fortress, the flying fortress, you know, when they want the president to be safe or something, they put him in that big airplane or those big bombers, flying fortresses. But the picture here is that of a fort so high that the enemy can't get there, like those castles that you see along the river in Europe. So exalted, so protected, so safe, so secure. No one can get there to harm you. I remember in the catechism class, I think it was after 9/11, where we had talk about this, you know, and then we talked about what's the safest place to be. I think I was in Hull at that time. And the kids thought Hull was the safest place to be. If I'd have been here with you, it would have been Sioux Center or Orange City or whatever. Wherever you live is the safest place. Not the East Coast. No. Not the West Coast. Well, then we had to talk about that. And we finally decided that the only safe place to be was to be in the hand of the Lord. And you could do that anywhere. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. You need to have your heart in heaven, the city of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Think about those people who are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. They're not in a beautiful city. They're in a cell. And they're beaten and they're kept from eating. And, oh, it's terrible. No sanitary conditions. It's just bad. Think about those people. What's the only safe place? To be in the Lord and to have the Lord in you. The Lord of hosts. He's the one we confess. And why do we confess him? Because he has stooped to us in Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what we confess. And what's the reason? Why do we confess him and do we confess this safety with the Lord, the God of Jacob? The selection of this name is so important. He could have said the God of Abraham, because usually when you think of the covenant, you think of Abraham, the covenant God made with Abraham, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But no, here, Jacob. And I believe that's even more revealing. What do you think of when you think of Jacob? I think of the deceiver, the one who was not very nice. If I was going to write that story, you know, make a movie or something, you'd say, well, Esau, man, that was a good guy. Instead of, he was rough and everything else, but he got messed with his brother. He deceived the father and got the birthright. And what happened? Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. Parents, explain that one to your children. And to me also. It's kind of backwards, isn't it? Yeah. The firstborn, no. God's choice. Think about it. And then people have questions about election. You don't need to have questions. You just need to have assurance that by faith, believing, loving, serving God, you may know he chose you because you were more like Jacob the deceiver than Esau the hero. Yeah. Sinners that we were. God's covenant. That's what this psalm, that's what the Bible and redemptive history are all about. God's covenant faithfulness. That's what God is all about. That's what the revelation of his word is all about. That's what faith is all about. Especially in times when we do not understand and we cannot explain. What does verse 10 say? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know what our problem is today? We have to understand everything. And I'm not questioning that we should search and we should seek to find out about things. But this is what we should search, the scriptures. And find out that in spite of our sin and indifference and our turning away from God, he loved us. And he loved us still, and he proved his love in Jesus Christ. He is faithful. He proves his love and faithfulness again and again in the sacrifice of Christ to save his people. And so in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the battle, in the midst of our world's unrighteousness and also our own, God answers with the cross of Jesus Christ. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I challenge you, if you can explain that one to me, then you don't know too much. Because all you're going to have to be able to say is, not me, but God. That's what it's all about. The Lord of hosts. The Lord who made me. The Lord who saved me. The Lord who's still seeking to grow me into his child until he comes again. That covenant Lord of hosts is with me and with you. And he is the God of Jacob, the God of sinners. And he will hold us safely in his hand. The Lord of hosts. God is with us. He is faithful. Amen. Oh Lord God, as we hear the gospel again, we marvel. We marvel at your faithfulness and your love in spite of our failure and our sin. So Holy Spirit, apply your word to our hearts. Convict us. Convert us. Renew us. Accept us. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are and what you have done and are doing. Do it, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.